Hi, everybody. This is Terry, and Daphne's on too, and Wim will be on in just a minute with the conference line. He's rounding up the conference line people. Today is the 25th of June, 2012. Wim is almost here. He's rounding up the conference line. We're in Denver. And it's probably over 100 degrees over here. And I just was walking outside, and my face was like as red as a red bandana. It was so hot out there. But now we're in the air conditioning room. So welcome, everybody. And as ever, I don't know what the topic is for tonight. And Wynn is going to bring in the topic. Wynn is about to come on the line. This is the Monday night conference call, and my name is Terry Brown. I'm the co-host of the show. Daphne is going to be on tonight. As you know, many of you know, Daphne has been channeling the Elohim, and she actually founded what we're doing and started what we're doing. So we owe a great amount of thanks to Daphne.
Okay, this is Monday, June 25th, in Free and Terry Brown in Denver, Colorado. Yay, Denver. And we have our conference line on. Are you on conference line?
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody want to say hello? Say hello? Anyone on the conference? Oh, we have people there. Good. And Terry, are you on the line?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You hear me on the air?
Yes. I can hear you on the air. Can you hear me on the air? Maybe I'm not on the air.
Do you guys hear Terry?
In the background.
Yes.
You hear her in the background. How about Daphne? Are you on?
I am.
No.
You hear Daphne?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is a BBS radio glitch. Okay. Now I'm hearing you, okay? Terry, say 1, 2, 3.
You can hear me now, I bet, because I think you just patched everybody in.
And Daphne, you can hear me?
1, 2, 3, test. I can hear you.
We hear you. All right. Well, you know, this is a come-as-you-are party. And, you know, just I'll tell you how we all are. On this Monday, Daphne, maybe I'll start. And Terry and I did something called the International New Age Trade Show on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And we flew to Denver, and we had a table there. And this is a show where people come who have New Age stores. And it's been going on for about 20 years. And it's where people with oils, crystals, books, all show their wares to the shows, to the stores everywhere. It's not like a public show. So one of the reasons that I started selling those pendants was because we had tested them in some New Age stores, and so we decided to go to that show and present our pendants to the stores. And we'll tell you more about what happened, because it was some really interesting things happened. But the show was over today at 4 o'clock Denver time, and so we checked out of our expensive hotel and took a shuttle to Motel 6. Got to Motel 6 about 20 minutes before the show. Carrie, we had all the show stuff, so we had to move it into the room. And Terry was telling you that's where she started, looking red as a beet, standing in Dr. Tabree's sun, while I was carrying things across the street into Motel 6. And tomorrow, we're leaving back for Phoenix and then Sedona. So that's our story. So we're probably not going to have a dramatic evening of channeling from Terry tonight. So just warning you.
So, now, when we hear Terry through your phone and through BBS.
Because they just ate half your hamburger.
She ate half my... I brought a hamburger from Burger King, and she ate half of it. That's how desperate she is. Okay, well, what I'll do is I'll move into another room as we get into this. But right now, Terry's in the background, and I don't know how to stop that. So,
My earphone just stopped working, so I'm going to have to be on the handset.
All right, so when Terry talks, I'm going to put my finger on the microphone. And now we're going to introduce Daphne, and she's going to tell her story. Daphne?
I can't really hear you. The signal is glitched, or it's distorted.
Can you hear Terry?
Yeah, can you hear me, Daphne?
I can hear Terry okay, but you win sound very distorted, and I can't really hear anything else.
Wynn was asking you to tell your story of what happened to you today.
I'll tell my story. Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly.
You're kind of quiet.
Okay, all right, my story. Well, I was up in Epping, New Hampshire, which is near the seacoast, and I was up there visiting my father's sister, my aunt, for about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and had a really nice kind of relaxing decompression time. I'm about to take a road trip down to Virginia, North Carolina, and Atlanta. And so from New Hampshire down to Cape Cod, where I'm headed, where my mom is, I'm going to pick her up. Well, she's going on the road trip with me. It's about a three-hour drive. And so I'm on Route 495, which is a big beltway around Boston, the outer beltway. The inner one is 128. And I'm doing about 70, 75. And all of a sudden, my car dies. The steering starts to freeze up. So the electrical system died. And I'm like, oh, no. So I luckily was able to get into the right-hand lane and then over to the shoulder, and there was an exit. And I was like, okay, God, you've got to help me through this. And I was able to restart the car, only to have it die again a couple of minutes later, but I was able to get to a service station. And then a good Samaritan in the form of an older gentleman gave me a ride down to a local garage, where I ended up having the car towed. And to make a long story short, I'm at the Holiday Inn down the road from there to the tune of $149 or so. And I have a bad ignition. Apparently the ignition switch in the Honda Odysseys are known for frying out after I don't know how many thousands of miles. So that's my story. I'm also at a hotel. And an interesting thing is that this hotel is adjacent to the campus, the East Coast campus of Cisco. Cisco is one of the largest manufacturers of routers in the world. It's a San Francisco Bay Area company, and they're headquartered in San Jose. And one of my friend's husband was a lead design engineer for Cisco, so I thought, well, that's interesting because their logo is the Golden Gate Bridge. So that's my story.
So they got your car now and are going to be fixing it?
I'm sorry, did you say? I can't hear you, Terry.
Did they get you? Are they fixing your car right now?
Yeah, I was able to have the car towed down to a local garage here, and they had to order the part. They're fixing it tomorrow morning, and hopefully I'll be on my way by the afternoon back down to Cape Cod.
All right.
Good luck, Daphne.
Good for hanging in there on all that.
Now, the interesting thing is, I checked out of a $120 a night hotel to go to Motel 6. So Daphne checks into a $150 motel, and she says, "Send me money, help!" And we wonder why it's hard to get ahead.
Terry?
Yes.
Terry?
Yes.
Daphne, I'm going to hang up and try to call back in. I can't hear anything. I can hear you, but I can't hear anything else.
Why don't you call the conference line instead of calling BBS, okay?
Lindsay, why don't you call the conference line instead of calling BBS?
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, bye-bye.
You got the number?
You know the pin for today? 368-522. Okay, now, I'm going to be a psychic. What's going to happen in 3 minutes is Daphne's going to call me and say, what's the pin? Okay. Now, you see, that's why I'm a good manager, because I anticipate problems. Now, since we're doing this, and as you can tell, we're all fried, and I don't think it's a good night for Daphne or Terry to channel. It's a good night to let everybody know how human we are. we end up in human situations. And so I wonder if anyone has a human situation. If anyone's listening for the first time tonight, this is not a normal call. Just letting you know, everybody ended up in a motel at the last minute, and no one is kind of relaxed enough do a channeling, I don't think. Everyone is too discombobulated. So we're going to have to play it by ear. And if there's anyone new on the line, we're going to find the divine in the ordinary. Okay? And did someone just check in? Would you like to say your name and your city?
Yeah, it's the discombobulated member of your group who just had to call in again.
I see. Okay. The discombobulated member. So, since we've got an open line, did anyone else have anything happen today that they'd like to share with us? By the way, I wanted to tell you that Carla Ruckert, this was the night that Carla Ruckert was supposed to be on. And we were supposed to do a thing with Carla, as we do once a month on, I think, the fourth Monday of the month. And an hour before the call, Jim called me, Carla's husband, and said, Carla's going to have to cancel out tonight. She had to go to the doctor and waited in line for 2 hours, and we look forward to doing it next time. So, just letting you know, keeping you abreast of quite a channel. So, Who wants to share anything interesting that happened for them tonight? Today.
Is everybody muted?
No, no one's talking. All right. We can do a group meditation. Did anyone have anything difficult happened for them? Did anyone on the line get yelled at? Did anyone get yelled at today?
I got yelled at.
Did I yell at you?
Well, I don't mean it. I was one of the customers. He was telling me a very, very interesting story and that was yesterday. And I really wanted to hear the story, but I also didn't know what to do about the other people that were waiting. And so I went to another person, and he went away. And then I nabbed him today, and I said, I want to hear the end of your story. And he just blew up at me, and he said, you aren't hearing any end of any story. He said, you cut me off. And it was very important to me, and I own a big store, and I was putting together an order in my head, and you cut me off, so you aren't getting anything. So, anyway, I let him tell me what he thought to try to release it as best I could, and then I gave him a pendant as an apology, and I gave him a copy of the reincarnation book because he was really enchanted with it. And so then, unfortunately, it's like he finally started really talking to me, and it was really interesting, and I heard some more of the story, and then another customer came up, and I had to deal with that customer, and I asked him if he would please come back, but he never came back. So anyway, I'm learning how to interface with groups of people. So that happened too.
Usually, I have to watch Terry because people love talking to her. She looks so lovable and approachable. Uh-oh. I better mute that, so.
Entry and exit times are off.
All right, now I want you guys to know, if you're listening for the first time, this is not an ordinary call. So please put up with us. We have Daphne that's broken down in New Hampshire and Terry and Wynn in Denver after a three-day show. So we're just telling and sharing. We usually, on these calls, and as everyone on the calls know, in fact, maybe people can share, we have amazing, extraordinary conversations with these group souls on this call. And they call themselves the Elohim Group, the Ra Group, and we kind of interview them on various aspects of the way the universe works, such as how this realm got created. We just pick any topic, where crop circles come from, and extraordinary things happen on this call. But if extraordinary things happen tonight, it's not going to be because of us, I don't think. You never know. We're not over yet. But we're kind of laying back because everybody is in a kind of in-between state. Now, I'll share with you, we were at the International New Age Trade Show, and I talked to some amazing people who were really interested in our work. And one of them is a guy that I've actually, he's known me for a long time. In fact, he's a publisher, and I submitted The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce to him when we were first working on it. And he was actually considering it, but he didn't go for it because his publishing company was in Virginia, and he was had a lot of interface with the ARE, the Cayce Foundation. So he didn't want to take that book on. But today, he talked to me for about 2 hours, and he is the guy who introduced and marketed Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. And he is really looking forward to reading the Creator God book. So we'll see what happens. And then the other guy...
I think you're too close to your mic.
Oh, okay. Is that better now?
Yes.
Okay. And the other guy was the guy who published The Secret, okay? Now, he was really interested in our work and follow-up. Now, I've learned not to expect anything to happen, because most things don't happen. But I know they were both interested. They both are going to go on my new website, the Intelligent-Infinity website. And if you haven't visited it, please do. First time I've had a website up that I think is it puts the idea of what we do out, and I'm getting great comments from people. And let's see. Daphne, are you there?
Did you ask for Daphne?
Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. You need to adjust your mic, Wynn. It's very hard to hear you.
Okay, is that better?
Well, what's happening is that you're dropping out, so you have to adjust the distance.
Is that better now?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Okay, well, hi, Solomon. It's too far away, and I think it's better for me to be close and a little muddy. Somehow or another, we packed our... my headset up, and I don't have it. So I'm doing the best I can. So, Daphne, what would you like to share with everybody tonight?
What would I like to share? Well, you know, it's actually, I think there was a divine design in this car failure. It's a very reliable car. I've never had any problems with it. In fact, 3 days ago, I just had the whole thing gone over and all the fluids changed and the tires rotated because I'm about to take this 1,200-mile road trip down to Atlanta. So the fact that I am in Boxborough, B-O-X-B-O-R-O-U-G-H, you know, number four, numerologically four is about foundation. The fact that I'm in Boxborough, Massachusetts, mass as in the precipitation of energy into matter, you know, E equals MC squared, and that Cisco routers, I mean, it's one of the largest router companies in the world. And I have personal ties with people who were founders there and lead design engineers there. They're based in San Jose, and I lived in Saratoga, 8 miles away in California, the Bay Area. And now I find myself, I'm literally on the periphery of their East Coast campus. I'm like, okay, what are the divine guys doing? What I notice they do through me is that they have me go to places all over the world. Lately, it's been all over the North American continent. And they have me anchor things. When Wynn and I were in New York City back in March of 2007, we ended up going to the site of the World Trade Center, the 911 site. And we also went to the site of the UN building, and we went to the Brooklyn Bridge. And I think they wanted us to go to the Statue of Liberty, but we didn't get out to Staten Island. And then we were in Philly, and they had us... where did they have us in Philly, Wynn?
Independence Hall.
Okay. Do you remember when we were taking all those pictures with the strange auras?
Yep.
Okay. So... for those of you who don't know, Wynn is from Philadelphia, and those are his old stomping grounds, so his energy is there, at least his growing up energy is there. And then he went out to the West Coast, out to UC Berkeley in the mid-60s to study ostensibly physics, but it got sidetracked into his mystical journeyman, singer-songwriter, poetry, travel across the United States in the zone, kind of like, how would you describe that, Wynn?
My troubadour phase.
Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, I was sitting in the lobby of the Comfort Inn just about an hour and a half ago. And there was this lady sitting across from me who was wearing a, looked like a Muslim headdress, and she was having prayer beads in her hand, which I thought was a Catholic phenomena. And I looked at her, she had very good energy. And so I sat next to her, and I said, are you a nun? And she said, are you a Catholic nun? Because of her prayer beads. And she said, no, she was a Sufi, a Muslim Sufi. And so we got into a conversation. It turns out she was in Berkeley. She used to be in something called the Floating Lotus Opera Company when I was in Berkeley, which was the street opera company. Then she was in Philadelphia. And then she went to India to study with masters. And I said, you'd be interested in my work. But then she said, no, my masters say, she had a very kind of strict way of seeing God. And so I said, well, you know, you're doing a good job. I can feel your energy. You're feeling connected. You don't have to know anything about what I'm doing. That's the interesting thing. You know, although we have a very valid thing we're going through, it doesn't matter. People can connect up energetically to higher realms and not know this. They have a different belief system of how it's working. But as long as their intent is high, they can make the connection. Well, in any case, for me, what Daphne is referring to is my troubadour phase when I was in a rock and roll band, and then I was in a duo with my friend Jillian, and then it was just me. I wanted to discover life, and I said, started hitchhiking around the country for probably 4 years and ended up in all kinds of amazing places. But back to you, Daphne.
Oh, boy. Gosh, you're a hard act to follow. Well, I didn't hitchhike around the country for 4 years. When I was 18, I'd been forced to go to a school called Phillips Andover, and which is, it's actually the oldest independent secondary school in the United States. And when I was there, it had just gone co-ed 3 years before. So there was a lot of resentment from a lot of the old faculty members who thought it should still be the bastion of blue blood males. And I didn't fall into that camp at all. I was not a male, and I was not a blue blood. I'm half Greek, and I'm not a tall, lean Anglo. I'm short, stocky, half breed. So I thought, what am I doing here? And I didn't have a large trust fund either. So, but I was a good student. But it was a really weird experience being there. It felt very much like a fish out of water. And then after 3 years there, for complex personal reasons, left that school, went back to public school for a year. And then I think my father felt badly and said, well, what do you want for graduation?
Daphne, I have a question.
Sure.
When you were going to Andover and you were kind of going in between classes, did you have any voices talking to you?
No. No voices, but a feeling of, how would I describe this? I remember going to the library and just perusing the stacks, and I would do it for hours and hours on end, and I was seeking out books on basically esoteric wisdom, but I didn't know that at the time. And everywhere I looked, because I was taking like classical Greek, I was reading Xenophon's Anabasis in Greek at age 14. I wasn't a Latin student. What else was I taking? I was taking Greek there. I didn't take German until I went and lived in Switzerland. But I remember just, you know, looking at all of this ancient, you know, classical Western civilization. And now I can appreciate it. But at that time, none of it clicked for me. I couldn't make any headway with it. It just, I thought, how does this, you know, what does this have to do with me? I felt like, you know, I felt like I was a Chinese person and trying to speak Swahili or something. I mean, it was just a total disconnect. So I felt very much lost. And people would be very caught up in whatever they were caught up in, and I just couldn't make it a connection. I did end up making a connection, although it became very difficult later, with a professor there who had been a former monastic. He had been at the monastery, a Trappist monastery in Spencer, Massachusetts. And later, after 4 years, he left and pursued, he got his PhD, went to the University of Virginia. And right before he had come to Andover, he was teaching at Harvard. And his brother had already established himself as a well-known travel writer, novelist, who's actually quite famous at this point, kind of a household name. And if you're a literary person at all, you know of him. He ended up making a film with Peter Bogdanovich, Mosquito Coast. But anyway, the brother, who was my professor, who shall remain nameless, who lives on Cape Cod, and I had a very difficult friendship relationship, in that he had sparked something in me. He definitely had a sense of God and the divine, and I could feel that in my connection with him. And at the same time, it was confusing for me because I didn't really know what was being asked of me. And it's interesting because years and years later, 20 years later, more or less, I ended up having what I consider a mystical conversion to Catholicism. Even though I consider myself a mystical Christian and I'm very eclectic, for some reason I do have a draw to Western Orthodoxy. I was baptized Greek Orthodox. And spend a lot of time, even to this day, going to Mass at Catholic churches. I'm sorry, Wynn, did you have a question?
No. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So I didn't have a question.
So, anyway, where was I going with this story? Now I've forgotten my train of thought. Can you help me out?
This is one of those days. This is how channeling gets started. Everyone gets to the place where they can't think of what to say, and suddenly they start talking.
Are the lines muted or not? Can you mute the lines?
All the lines are muted?
Are they or not?
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Daphne, you would press star 6.
No. Daphne, press star 6. Talk.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Thank you.
Daphne, I have to say, you have a wonderful phone voice. Did you know that?
Oh! You've got wax in your ears, dear. You need to clean them out. But thank you.
Hi, what do you think? Does she have a good phone voice?
She sounds beautiful.
Boy, I really hoodwinked you guys, but keep the compliments coming. Jeez. I got up this morning. I actually got a pedicure yesterday, and I had my hair done for the first time in months. And I thought, I need some self-care here. And then I woke up this morning, and I mean, she did it. It's darker than I've had it in a long time. And I looked in the mirror this morning and thought, if I don't scare other people, I certainly scare myself when I look in the mirror sometimes. I feel like there's so much processing going on in terms of the energetic infrastructure, the energetic substructures. Yesterday's call, our Sunday planetary healing call, yesterday's call was extremely powerful. I felt it to be that, and I felt like there was a tremendous amount of energy anchoring. And then oftentimes I will see or feel the results of that, 24 hours to 72 hours later. And I look like a raccoon sometimes. I've got these dark circles under my eyes, and I look like somebody who's been on crack or cocaine, for months at a time. And I've never touched any of that stuff. And but I can feel it, the way it processes through the physical system. And when these huge, huge waves of energy are getting inserted literally into the physical envelope of 3D consciousness and then into the grid systems, I think one of the reasons that we're having trouble with the phone lines tonight is we're literally establishing these electromagnetic infrastructure, these big broadband telecommunications lines for this consciousness. I think we're actually, we're helping to posit the proto or meta highways for this stuff into the consciousness, into the realm down here. And so it's like being a spiritual samurai in the Amazon jungle, and you're with a machete, and you're literally having to hack through virgin territory. There is no road. I used to complain to Wynn all the time. It's like, well, how do we work this? I said, there aren't any structures in place that can deal with these energies. And he said, well, it's kind of like you learn as you go. And I said, well, it's kind of hard, the ability to explain this to people is, it's, you have to find the words, you have to find the language. It's a big experiment. For whatever reason, physical resources are really, really, I know they're hard for most people now, but in my own personal situation, they're ridiculously tight. I mean, I'm living at the grace of my mother and my aunts, pretty much. And it's like, talk about being on the edge. It's kind of like Indiana Jones, but I don't have MGM, or some big Hollywood person paying me a salary. It's like, it's challenging.
Okay. So if anyone wants to make a donation tonight, we will send it to Daphne. Just letting you know. All donations this evening go to Daphne. She's stranded in New Hampshire.
Oy vey. No.
Oy vey.
I'll tell you. Here's a little something, Daphne. When you look at the way things happen and the things that put things together, the intricacies of what create a synchronicity. So I met Daphne at something called the Prophets Conference, and I was in the middle of writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I was also writing articles for a web magazine called The Spirit of Mutt, which you can go look up some of those articles. I was probably one of the first people to interview Greg Braden, Spirit, SPIRITOFMAAT, and then my name, Winfrey. And there was a conference in the Monterey area called Pacific Grove, actually, and I was going to interview people. And they were paying me every time I interviewed somebody, so there were going to be like 10, 15 people who I could interview. And I walked into the conference. conference room. It's called the Prophets Conference. And the first thing I see in the room is this fellow and his wife, who I know from L.A. And I've known them for, I've known the guy, Sam, for probably 15 years. And I started chatting with them. And while I was chatting with them, my eye caught Daphne's eye. And she was looking at me. And I said, I looked at her and I said, do you know me from somewhere? Now, I never say exactly the right thing here. What did you say when I said that?
No, I think you said to me, do I know you? And
then,
what did I say? Like, not in this life or something like that?
I thought you said you remind me of an author that I knew.
Yeah. Well, you were speaking very animatedly, and you had your hands were wildly gesticulating. And Wynn is tall. He's about 6'2". And he's kind of an eccentric figure. You can find him in a crowd. But he reminded me of this author, this person I had been referring to earlier, the monastic, former monastic. And so, yeah, that's how I originally met you.
And then when Daphne was in L.A., we went to visit Sam and his wife, Pauline. Daphne always refers to him as, oh, that's the guy that wanted to go swimming naked in his hot tub, right?
Well, you always said he was Sam. You always called him Sam the Naked Man.
No, I didn't say call him that. You called him that. I never called him that.
No, you called him that, and I said, well, what's the story there? And then you told me the story about, well, they would always have these get-togethers. They'd always invite people to come into their hot tub, but they themselves would do it without any undergarments.
Yeah.
So I said, well, no, thank you.
So then about 2 or 3 months later, Daphne started channeling. Now, Sam is a kind of person that is always sponsoring spiritual events. He invites people to come to his house. He's still doing that. He does that for years. And so I called him up and I said, Sam, I got to tell you. And I mean, at that time, Daphne was channeling and I wasn't really talking about it. And I said, well, Sam should be interested. He should be. So I called Sam up and I said, I got to tell you. Remember Daphne who was at your little party? Well, this voice started coming through her and said it was the Elohim. And he said on the phone, Wynn, I'm so glad for you. Congratulations. And I said,
no, didn't he say Mazel Tov?
He said Mazel Tov. I was just not translating it for the Jewish people. And I said, no, Sam, it's the Elohim. Don't you know you're Jewish? These are the guys you were calling God. And he just kept saying, congratulations. And after a while, I stopped talking to him. I didn't talk to him. I didn't know how to talk to him anymore. And believe it or not, he was at this event in Denver. And I met him. And he invited me up to his room with his wife and visit. And I went up and we actually connected, really connected for the first time in 10 years. You know, one of the things is that Sam has known me for a long time. And he could not shift his consciousness to what I was actually doing. He kept seeing me. This has been something I've noticed many times in my life where I knew people and I looked a certain way, had a certain image. And when that changed, I couldn't change the relationship. It didn't track the new place I was going to. So usually you have to leave the people behind because they don't fit into who you're becoming. So it was quite amazing to have that relationship with Sam transform. And boy, are we doing a terrible job today. God, thank you guys for putting up with us. This is definitely a seat of the pants call. And, you know, if you've never worked a trade show, if you've never been in a booth, there is a fatigue that happens like nothing I've ever experienced. And it's not necessarily a fatigue because you worked hard. There's a little bit of work, physical work, setting up the booth. It is so much psychic energy standing in front of a crowd that's walking by you and engaging them for hours a day. And at the time you're doing it, you can look really enthusiastic. Now, when it's over, it's like plop, and that's how Terry and I are feeling now. That's how I've been feeling, and I have a feeling that's how Terry's been feeling. That's the way you're feeling, Terry? Why, you didn't have the phone to your ear?
No, I can't hear anything anymore.
You can't hear anything anymore.
Couldn't hear anything.
Oh, well.
Okay. All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
All right, I have unmuted everybody. Would anyone like to ask us? No one's sharing anything. Well, here we are struggling. And you guys aren't sharing. Robbie.
I'd like to share something. This is Greg in Renton. And,
hey, Greg.
I'm reading your book, and I just want to share with everybody that I'm really enjoying it. It's just really a good read, and it really indicates to me. I'm just kind of getting through the chapter about Rata, and it's just absolutely fascinating. You know, I really have liked David Wilcock. But the insight that you put together in the book is just like, wow. So,
thank you.
Very well done. And I think if you haven't read the book, you need to get it and read it because I think it would just kind of increase your understanding of what's going on here. It lays a good foundation. So,
thank you for sharing that because there's a lot of people who. When they discover Wilcock live, they think, "What do I need to read the book for? I see him live." And there are so many things in the book that he will not talk about live. And he does
On that, Wynn, if I can just interject one brief comment. When I was at my aunt's house, I shared this with you. I'm wandering around. She has an old farmhouse. It was built in the 1860s, and all kinds of things. There are books and kitty cats and, you know, attics full of stuff. And so I'm wandering around in her sewing room, and my eye falls upon a book. And the book was Wynn's book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I guess this was a copy that he'd given to my aunt. And so I pulled it out of the shelf, and I brought it into my room. Well, then a minute or two later, I'm going to the bookshelf in that room, and my eye falls upon a book in German. And I, at one time, could speak and read and write German quite well. And so I pulled it out, and lo and behold, it was the German edition of Wynn's book. And in German, the title is Der Schlafende Prophet, The Sleeping Prophet. And it's interesting because the German is not... Actually, no. It's Der Schlafende Prophet erwacht, the sleeping prophet awakes, auf Deutsch. And so I was taking a look at it, And I was telling Wynn, I said, you know, this your book reads even better in German than it does in English. It really tight, the prose gets really, really tight in German. And there was a part in here that really jumped out at me. And I'm trying to think exactly where it was. But the gist of it is, apparently when Casey gave the prophecy that he would return, it wasn't that Casey would return. It was that Rata would return in 1998.
We have about 2 minutes.
I thought that was very, very interesting.
I hear you. Great.
He's got some goosebumps.
I thought that was very interesting.
Hey, I'm going to add one thing that's very interesting. Remember I told you about the guy who did Conversations with God and brought that to the public, who I was talking to? What I found out, it was interesting, this show, check this out. That guy's name is Bob Friedman, totally responsible for Conversations with God. You know what else he's responsible for? He is the guy that published Carla Ruckert's raw material. And I never knew that. And then his company was sold to Schiffer. And at this event, the guy who was representing the metaphysical catalog in Schiffer came by. And I'm going to help him get the raw material to be well known. In any case, we have to close down. Thank you all for putting up with us tonight. We'll see you Wednesday. We will have questions that you all submit. Maybe Daphne will be helping us answer. And thank you all. Thank you, Hives. And we wish you a great day.